Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 74, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 74.
Of God's holy word, which we read to you, wish to read to you this afternoon, can be found in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, but before that, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the help and blessing of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art our creator and thou who art our benefactor and our provider and the keeper of our life, each and every one of us, and we have seen those who are the first responders leaving us in this hour, Lord. We ask of thee that thou may watch over where that there is danger and where that there is hurt. And wilt thou thyself spare life and give what is necessary unto all those that come to their aid? And do teach us what our life is, because in one moment then we also can be called to come before thy judgment seat, but we have no impression thereof day by day. The callings, they are coming unto young and old together, also in our very midst, that there are those whose fears also rise within them, because we cannot die in that state wherein that we have been born. And messages, they are coming here and there by time. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. And who is able, O Lord, to approach unto thee and to stand before thy judgment seat? O our goodness that is as the morning cloud and as the early dew, it goeth away. Our righteousnesses themselves are as filthy rags in thy sight, and they must become so also in our own sight. O that thou may look upon us once again in this hour, wherein we are gathered round thy word of truth, a very solemn hour, because we are gathered before thy face to hear what thou hast to say unto us also in a personal way. And Lord, we shall give an account also of this day before thee. Oh, then we, our responsibility and our accountability, that does increase. But Lord, who is able to stand before thee? And then there is not one man who shall have one answer to a thousand questions. And we also stand in need of the same thing. And thy servant did say, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning that is not hid from thee. And it may be also in this afternoon hour that there are such in our midst whose groaning that is not hid from thee. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst hear in heaven thy dwelling place. Thou hast promised that when they would gather in thy house, that thou wouldst hear from heaven, and thou wouldst forgive. O Lord, who is a God like unto thee, who pardoneth iniquity and who passeth by the transgression of thine heritage? O, we have heard it in this morning hour, the great freeness and the completeness of that blessed work of thine only begotten Son, and that swearing of thee. O Lord, it is by thy own name, because thou canst swear by no greater, so that there is not the least question whether that church shall be brought in anymore. Because that price that is so fully paid, and then there is nothing that is able anymore to come in between thee and them. O Lord, that we may be given eyes to see the blessedness of thy church. O, that we may be given that desire with a Ruth of old already in that land of Moab. Thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Oh, that we may be given that holy longing, the holy desires, and that we may be given to say that thou didst bid me seek thy face, And that I with willing heart reply, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Oh, that it may live, Lord, in the hearts of both young and old, that is not in our heart by nature. And because our heart does seek all that is perishing in this world, and thou knowest and seest it all, but thy long suffering that is so great over us. But we are so powerless to change our wretchedness before thee. O Lord, the power that belongs to thee alone. O, we ask of thee that thou may touch our hearts by the power of thy Holy Spirit. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, and there are three that bear witness upon the earth. And they are one, and they agree in one. O Lord, that witness also may be among us also in this afternoon hour. We ask it of thee, Lord, not because there is any deserving from our side, but thou thyself did say, ask, and ye shall receive. O Lord, we beseech it of thee then in this afternoon hour upon thy own word, and that thou thyself hast spoken. O, that thou would show thyself then as one, as him who is not able to lie. O, that thy faithfulness and thy truth may be evident among us, when we may see that there are new ones that are born in Zion. And when men may smite upon their breast by the power of thy Spirit to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, that thou may show in the midst of us what that vanity of our life is. O, that we are traveling to a great and never-ending eternity. O, wilt thou remember thy children? O, that thou may give them to see more and more of what thou hast sworn on behalf of thyself. O, that they may receive that blessed comfort, that only comfort in life and death, and that they may receive more and more of that blessed assurance, and that they shall never perish. O, that thou wouldst give more and more, that there may be a resisting of the devil, a fleeing from sin, a drawing nigh unto thee, and a living in a new and a holy life, that there may be more and more of a desire to be delivered from this sin of this life, that they may be given to lay down this mortal flesh, that they may be raised in incorruption, that thou may remember young and old together in all the needs also of this life known unto thee. Wilt thou look upon the young couple that hope to be united in this week in that holy bond of matrimony? Lord, that thou thyself may bind them together, and that thou may give what is necessary to make their oath also before thee and before the congregation. And that thou may look upon all those that do travel, bring in safety to and fro. And wilt thou grant us also a good hour in thy house? Lord, that thou may look upon all those that need thee in special ways. O, thou knowest the place where they are. There are young ones, there are older ones. O, wilt thou give that they may be given to come in their secret chambers, and that they may experience in their life that thou dost yet live. Lord, that their hearts may be drawn by the outward circumstances and the knowledge of thy deliverances, and that thy goodness may lead to a true repentance. Wilt thou supply for all those that bring thy word, Wilt thou remember our nations? Wilt thou instruct those that govern us? Wilt thou look upon those that are upon mission fields? And wilt thou bring thy word to the ends of the earth? Remember thy servant also, and that is not able to bring thy word in this day. Wilt thou strengthen him once again to do the labors of his hands? And wilt thou supply and give also in this day a blessing for his own soul? Wilt thou remember us also, Lord, or that thou may give to us, if it could please thee, that strength that is necessary to do all the labors of our hands? Lord, that thou may grant us health and strength. Oh, this belongs unto thee, and that we have to experience, and thou. Thou art able to speak, Lord, and all shall be made well. But, Lord, wilt thou give us also patience, and wilt thou give us also a bowing heart, and that all the afflictions that thou dost lay in the midst of us, that they may be given to be but a light affliction, and that it is only for a moment, and that that light affliction may work in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look upon us in this hour. Lord, help us. Oh, thou knowest our foolishness, and we are not able to do this work in our own strength. Lord, we ask of thee wisdom from above in this hour. We ask of thee thy Spirit's guidance to show us thy way, and that thou thyself may grant something that may be for instruction, for reproof, for edification. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry. Our Father's God, to thee, let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. And what follows? This is the second wedding announcement of Gerwin van Hagenbos and Heidi Soutendal, who hope to be married this Friday, October the 30th, at 11 o'clock a.m. here in the Fort McLeod Church. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by this Tuesday, October the 27th. The last collection today is for the property purchase. Psalter 226, all the stanzas.
God, our shield, the Lord.
Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Whose words were they? They were the words of God's servant, the words of the Apostle Paul. On the ship, in the storm, and the soldiers, boys and girls, they are ready to flee that ship. And then the words of the Apostle Paul. What do we read that the soldiers do? When those shipmen want to take that boat under color as if they would put out anchors, then we read that the soldiers, they cut off the ropes and they let her fall. That was, without doubt, not just the decision of those soldiers, but it was the command of him that was over those soldiers, the centurion. That was their lifeboat. That was, humanly speaking, the means by which everyone on that boat could be brought safely onto the land. They cut the ropes and they let her fall. What a regard. What a great, what a high regard that centurion had for the word of the Apostle Paul. That he has forsaken those means which were, humanly speaking, those only means that were left. And that he has completely rested and relied upon the word of the servant of the Lord. Christ, he says, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, even the same shall save it. That is the strength of saving faith. To bring through that trial, temporary, historical, that is not able to bring a man through this trial. It is the trial of life and of death. And the Lord gives in the heart of His people what is necessary to come through that trial. And it is this saving faith that is now the subject of our attention in our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 7, questions 21, 22, and 23. Lord's Day 7, question 21. What is true faith? Answer, true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Question 22. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? Answer, all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. Question 23, what are these articles? And these we read every Sabbath afternoon. Thus we have true faith defined, and we have too many points to speak about all of them today. So we wish to speak only about two things this afternoon with the Lord's help, and that is the ground of true faith. So that is, boys and girls, the ground. Ground is what you stand on, right? You stand on it. So we're asking, what is the ground of true faith? What does true faith stand on? And when you stand on something, then you want it to be what? You want it to be very, very firm. You say, I need solid ground to stand on. I need something that is going to hold me up. That is our first point. And what is it that true faith is actually standing on? What is holding up and what is giving that confidence in true faith, even as we have heard of that centurion, that confidence, so that he will cut off that boat and he will stand on what that apostle has spoken. Thus, first the ground, because when you're going to make a building, what do? Then you first make sure that you have good ground, and then you start to build on that good ground. Therefore, we start in the beginning. The ground of true faith. Second, we have the objects of true faith. That seems also difficult, but that is not difficult either, because that is just what is it that true faith actually believes. It has to believe something. It doesn't exist all by itself. Thus, 2 points, they seem difficult. They are simple. That is first, that is our theme, true faith defined. First, the ground of true faith, what it stands on. And second, the objects of true faith, that is what true faith believes. Faith, that is a common word. What does faith do? You will say, faith that believes. And that is right. Actually, that is one thing that faith does. Faith believes. Faith also does more. because believing that has something to do with knowledge or truth, and faith also agrees, it is sense, and faith also trusts, but we hope to see those things, and the Lord willing, in the future. Thus, faith that believes. There are some things, congregation, that we know. And what are those things? How do we know things? Well, you say, when I see something, then I know it. When I hear it, I know it. I feel it, I know it. I smell it, I taste it. We experience something, then we know by those experiences. But there are other things, because there are many things that we cannot experience. And still we regard those things to be true. Thus, something that we do not experience, and still we regard it to be true, well, maybe we think, maybe that is just some opinion of ours. But maybe that is more than an opinion, that it is actually a belief. And how do we come by a belief that is when someone else tells us something? And we believe it because we believe them. Thus, that is faith in a very general way. Faith. That is not things that we can experience, but it is that we are persuaded about something, the truth of something, based upon testimony, based upon the word of someone else. So that centurion, he had faith in that word of the Apostle Paul. He could not prove that that word was right, but he believed that word. And the fact that he believed it, that was evident in his actions, what he has done. We do not believe everyone. We do not believe what everyone says. Why? Because some people, they lack with us credibility. Maybe we say, well, that person is known to not tell the truth. Do you always tell the truth, boys and girls? You must always tell the truth. Because if you do not always tell the truth, then you will be known as a liar. And then no one will eventually believe you. Then you will not be, we say, credible. Or maybe we do not take the word of someone because we say, well, he was not actually there. We look for someone who was an actual witness, who has seen it with his eyes, and we believe them more. So we do not believe everyone because everyone is not credible. Solomon says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of the fool cutteth off the legs and drinketh damage. You cannot send a message by the hand of a fool because no one will believe him. But he says, a faithful man will not lie. And therefore, a faithful ambassador is health. Why? Well, his word as an ambassador that will have authority with other persons because of who he is. Because he is seen, because he is known to be a faithful person. Thus, whether a man's word has authority with us, that depends upon his credibility. Whether or not we can trust him. Congregation, see the evil of unbelief. The evil of unbelief of that word of God. when we do not believe the word of God, then we have evidence within ourselves that we do not perceive God Himself to be credible. That is the sin of unbelief. Because we just read how that the apostle says, "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar." That is now the state in which we have been born. That is what we call the state of unbelief. Because we do not believe God. And that is, congregation, a sinful state. A sinful state. Because in that state, we call God a liar. Or do you feel something of the sinfulness of our state of unbelief? Our Heidelberg Catechism, that is defining true faith, that is sometimes called saving faith or justifying faith, because there are many, many objects of faith in a natural way in this world, but that is not all the same. Not every faith that is saving to the soul, not every faith is justifying a man before God. Thus, this true faith, this saving faith that has to do with the eternal welfare of our body and our soul. And now there is much that we will venture upon a man, upon the credibility of a man in this world, but upon whom will you venture the welfare of your soul? That is what we mean when we say that we need a ground. True faith needs a solid ground, a solid foundation, an immovable foundation. If a man is going to ground himself upon it, in those things that he is not able to know by his own experience, those things that have to do with the future, those things which are spiritual, then certainly we need a ground that is not going to be changing. True faith that is grounded in the divine testimony. True faith that is grounded upon the Word of God Himself. And if true faith is grounded upon that Word of God, then it is actually ultimately God Himself, the truth of God, the faithfulness of God, which is that ground which true faith is standing on. This week is Reformation Day. What is it from which we have been delivered in the days of our fathers, in that time of the Reformation? Because what is it that was taught and is taught by that Roman Catholic Church concerning the ground of true saving faith? Well, and then they are saying that it is not alone the Word of God, but it is also the interpretation of the church. And not only the interpretation of the church, but added to that word is the apostolic tradition. So that they are setting this as the ground for true saving faith. But you understand that it is not an immovable ground. And thus it is insufficient for a man to be placing his hopes upon, and therefore the deliverance from that doctrine that was alone of the mercies of the Lord. Do we acknowledge the Lord sufficiently enough that he has given unto us and unto children his truth? Thus the ultimate ground, the ultimate foundation for true saving faith, and that only foundation that is lying in the truth, the veracity it is called, the truth of God and the faithfulness of God. The ground is this, that God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent. But congregation, what is now necessary for this? Because we have just said that man, by nature, he is lying in a state of unbelief. Thus, we do not see God himself as credible. And when we do not believe that he is credible, then we also do not believe and we do not receive his word as truth. That is because we are sons of Adam, and Adam also did the same. When he rather believed the devil than he believed the Lord himself. And certainly we can have pretension. And certainly we can deceive ourselves that we do believe God, that we do believe his truth. But in actuality, we will not venture our soul upon it. Because we perceive actually that we are not on a good, solid ground. What can we do then for that unbelief that is living then within our heart in that state of nature? Well, faith. What is faith again, young people? Faith. That is a persuasion. A persuasion of something of the truth, hopefully. Persuasion of the truth that is founded on testimony. Faith. Saving faith. That is founded on a truth that is by the testimony of whom? It is by the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Thus, man, he is dependent upon the testimony of the Holy Spirit within his heart in order that he may savingly believe. Do we have that testimony in our heart? We heard this morning about Noah. It was this testimony of the Holy Spirit in the heart of Noah that did make him fear, we read, that he built an ark to the saving of his house. That is, by this testimony of the Holy Spirit, Noah believed God. Can that come in a natural way? For 120 years, Noah has preached unto this first world. And we do not read of a single man besides Noah's family that has gone with Noah into that ark. Because the testimony of the Holy Spirit did not accompany that word of preaching into the heart of that first world. The Lord is so just that he may withhold that testimony so that it was for that first world a preaching of 120 years that was nothing but a savor of death unto death. But it was this testimony of the Holy Spirit that did make Abraham to raise his knife to slay his son Isaac. Why? Because we read that Abraham believed God. True faith that is planted in the heart in regeneration. It is the Spirit of the Lord that is causing that new birth. That is why, boys and girls, that is why we say unto you and your father and mother say to you that you must pray for what? You say, I must pray for a new heart. Yes. Why? Because a new heart that has a different direction, a new heart that has a new inclination, a new heart that has a new disposition, a new heart that has a new bend. Thus, that new inclination that is necessary for true saving faith, because a corrupt tree that cannot bring forth good fruit. No. That corrupt tree itself must be changed through saving faith. That is impossible in a heart that has an evil disposition, an evil inclination. But now in that fear of God that may be planted in that heart, then that heart begins to believe God. To believe God. Congregation, did we ever begin to believe God? It brings us to our second thought. That is the objects of true saving faith, because faith does not exist in isolation. It does not exist all by itself. It acts upon an object. Children, your eyes, when they see something. And your ears, when your ears hear, then they hear something. That is so with faith also. When faith believes, then it always believes something. Thus, we must always not speak just about faith, but we have to speak about faith with its object, what it actually believes. Indeed, we must first have the capacity of sight before we can see. We have to have eyes before we can see. Because if we have no eyes, we cannot see. We can say to a blind man, look at me, but he has no ability, he has no capacity for sight. And we can say to a deaf man, listen to me, but he has no capacity, he has no hearing, and therefore he cannot act, he cannot hear. And so that is also with faith. We need first to have a capacity. And in that state of unbelief, then we miss already the capacity of faith. So that it is impossible to have the exercise of true saving faith. We are in a state of unbelief. And we need to be brought into a new state. We need to be brought into a state of faith. In regeneration, then a man is brought into the state of faith. That is sometimes called the habitus or the habit of faith. Over against the actus or the act of faith. So we have faith in its habitus or habit or faith in its existence. And then faith in its acting. And those are two distinct things. They are distinct. But you cannot have the one without the other. Naturally, you cannot have the actus, the acting of faith, the exercise of faith, if faith does not even exist. You have to have in the first place that habitus of faith. But congregation, so it is also the other way around. You cannot have the habitus without the actus. You cannot have the eye of faith without the seeing of faith. Because when faith is planted in the heart of a man, then a man begins to believe. That is not as if a man can receive the existence of faith 1 year or one day, and tomorrow, well, then it comes into exercise. Oh, no. No. That happens in one moment, and when the Lord, He gives the existence of it, then immediately a man begins to believe. You say, is a man then saved? Is a man then saved in that moment of regeneration when faith that is planted in his heart? Indeed, yes. Indeed, yes. From the side of the Lord, then there is a change of state. Then he is brought from the state of unbelief into the state of faith, into the state of grace. And in that moment that faith is planted, in that moment that faith that begins to exercise itself, it is just like a child, boys and girls. Maybe you have a little baby in your house because many of them have been born among us. And now that little baby, he is alive. And because he is alive, he is breathing, is he not? And he sees and he hears. All those things, they come with his existence. We do not say that it all begins tomorrow. No, it begins now. But how does it begin now? You say, well, it begins in just a little way. Right? It does not begin with the same strength. And that is so with faith also. No, it does not begin with that great strength. But it also does not begin even with the same objects. Because you say, I thought it began with the misery of a man. And that is true. But then do we not speak about the object of faith? Faith that is beginning immediately, but it is proceeding in an orderly way. That faith is receiving certain objects that the Spirit of the Lord is placing before it, that it may see and believe. Let us sing first. 149. 1, 5 and 6. On God alone my soul relies, and He will soon relieve. The Lord will hear my plaintive cries at morning, noon, and eve. 1, 5, and 6 of Psalter 149. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? What is necessary for a Christian to believe? That means that there are certain things that are necessary for a Christian to believe. That means that it cannot be just anything that we believe, but that a man is saving by believing something very, very specific. That means that it is not actually the faith that saves us, but it is that which is received by faith which saves our soul. That is the same when you eat, boys and girls. You say you have to eat in order that you may receive the food, but it is the food that nourishes you. It is not your eating that nourishes you. And today, of course, if you cannot eat, and then maybe they put a tube in your stomach and they can put the food in that way and you still can live, but it is the food then. How is that now with the salvation of our soul? Well, there is no other way than by faith. There is no other way. But it is not the faith itself that is doing the saving. No, we are saved by grace, through faith. Sometimes, then, we hear the Lord Jesus say, for example, "Thy faith hath saved thee." But that is not in a technical way. But that is the same as when we would say, "Well, it is a good thing that you did eat, because without eating, then you cannot be nourished." Thus, it is not the faith. No, it is the object of faith that is received into our soul that actually saves the soul. And there is a general object of faith, but there is also a special object of faith. And it is that special object, that very special object of faith, that actually saves the soul. But our soul that has to be led to that object. And thus there is also a general object of faith. And our fathers, they speak about this first. Because they say true faith, that is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word. Thus they speak about all that God has revealed to us in His Word. That is the general object of true saving faith. How is a man convinced of the truth of all that God has revealed to us in His Word? Well, we have spoken of that. Because we do not believe it by nature. We believe it maybe in a historical way. We hope so. But we do not believe that in a saving way. How is a man convinced of this? That is, by the testimony, we hope you know that now by now, children, by the testimony of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Does a person realize that the Spirit of the Lord that is working, that is moving in his heart, he cannot feel that, he cannot sense that? No. No, that is something that is known only by the fruits of it. But that Spirit is influencing him. That influences the thoughts of his mind. That influences the affections of his heart. So that he is receiving that truth in a different way than that historical faith or even that temporary faith is receiving it. That he is convinced not only of the truth of the doctrine, but he sees something of the beauty of it. He is convinced of the excellency of it. He beholds something of the glory of it. And he receives in the bottom of his heart a love for it, a love for that truth, and a love for the God of that truth. And that love that is operating in his heart, despite the fact that that testimony of the Lord, that word of God, is against him. It is against him. That is the only way that a man can receive that word of God by nature. Because that is what the Word of God testifies of us by nature, that God is against us. But the testimony of that Spirit that gives him still to love it, so that he is drawn to it even though it is testifying against him. See, that is strange. Maybe you've seen that, children. When a dog may be beaten by his master, but that dog, he continues to crawl to his master. And so that is also by the testimony of the Spirit of the Lord, That first testimony that is concerning what? That is concerning our misery, our wretchedness, that we are out of our land, wherein we have been created in that blessed image of God. That we have lost the communion with Him, the testimony of the Holy Spirit, so that a man, he feels that he loves that God, that he desires that he may be reunited to that God, although he sees no way to be reunited unto Him. The Spirit testifies within his heart of the cause of that separation. Did you ever see it? Then the Spirit shows to him that there is one thing that separates, and that is sin. Oh, that is the reason that sin becomes so exceeding sinful. That they love that God, and that sin that is against that God whom their heart has come to love. This is where that grief comes from. Then it is not only our conscience, because our conscience, that is in everyone, in the whole world. But there is not grief in everyone. No grief. Grief, where does that come from? Grief that comes from love. We grieve over our loved ones when we have to miss them. And when we have to miss the Lord, we grieve too. And when we see the cause of that separation, then we grieve even also over that cause. Thus, the testimony of that Holy Spirit in the heart of a man to cause him to believe that word, to receive that word, and a testimony that is opening up that fatal disease that is living every day, every moment in his heart. Why? Why does the Lord do this? Because he delights in the sorrows and the tears and the grief and the sighs and the cries of a man? Oh no. Far from it. But there is, congregation, that special object of faith. And the Spirit, he will lead a man to that special object of faith. But the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Thus, everything that that Spirit is doing, that is now to lead a man to the salvation of his soul by a true saving faith. What is that special object? Our fathers speak of that too. True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. There we have it. Christ. That is, congregation, that special object of true saving faith. That is, not actually only in and of himself, but as he is proclaimed, as he is promised in the gospel, and then it is once again only by that testimony of the Holy Spirit in the heart of such a sinner that he is given to see and to behold him. Because the Apostle Paul, he said that he did not learn it from men, neither was he taught it but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And our fathers, they say that here too. They say which? The Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. How does he do that? How does the Holy Spirit work that that faith, that true saving faith in the heart of such a sinner. Say, that will be difficult, right, children? Oh, you know you have two souls. We thought this will be so difficult for the children today. But I hope that you can listen a little bit. How does the Lord work in the heart of a man? That is the same way, boys and girls, that the Lord has to work in the heart of a boy or girl. And you know you can die because 2 years old, only 2 years old, that little child that was already taken to the grave. How old are you? You are more than two. And so the old must die, but the young can die. And then you need also that same thing as your mother needs and your father and your grandmother and your grandfather. How does the Lord do that? To work that true saving faith in His only begotten Son in the heart of a boy or a girl. Do you know what it says in the Bible? It says that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus said that, the Son of Man, He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And now that first testimony of the Holy Spirit that is, that I am lost. O congregation, did you ever go lost? Did you ever become a lost one? Because the Spirit of the Lord that is teaching a man that lost is His name. Then it has to become us. That is now what the Lord is doing, children. Then He has, let me say, He is changing your name. He is changing your name. That it is not David, it is not Susan, it is not, well, it is what? I am lost. I am lost. I am lost. Or ask the Lord for His Spirit to show you. Because, do you know what the Spirit then shows a man? He shows him that his name that is written in the Bible, he sees his name there. He sees that name lost. Lost. And you can imagine, children, if you saw your name there, John, Paul, if you saw your name in the Bible, then you are going to be very careful to look what it now says about me. And when a man, a boy, a girl, who has become lost, he sees his name in the Bible, or what happens? Then he says, what? My name that is written there in the Bible. What does it now say there? Do you know what it says? Then he sees. He says, it says this. It says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Is lost. And then he says, the Son of Man, He has come to seek and to save me. Can that be? Can that be? That He has come to seek and to save me. He says, there cannot be. But where is it written? It is written in the Word of God. And there we have that testimony, that true saving faith. What is it doing? It is persuading a man, congregation, it is persuading a man of the truth based on testimony. And that Spirit of the Lord that says to that lost sinner, He says, yes, yes, that is what it says. And it is the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord. And that is how a man comes to see that the name of Jesus, that is congregation written, that is written in the Bible, next to my name. It is written next to my name. Because it says that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And now you can imagine how that their soul rejoices in that moment, when it may so receive by the Spirit of the Lord, by the testimony of that Spirit, that truth. Oh, it cannot be proven, no, not in this world. But it is so sure, we hope, if the Lord will give it, to see more of that. It is so sure as their own existence, as the existence of that whole world, it cannot be denied. Impossible. And so that soul, that is congregation, leaping for joy, not only to others, but to me also, that is in it. There is a connection in that moment to their own name. And in that moment, then a person is given to see something opened up of what that whole Bible means from the beginning to the end. Then they see it, as it were, in one moment, what that gospel means and what that message is from Genesis unto Revelation. That is what our fathers say here. The remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for Christ, the sake of Christ's merits. They have learned that their whole life, but they have never seen it as in that day that the Spirit of the Lord, he is opening their eyes. Oh, can they see everything of it? No. No, it is just as a child. Then he sees something of it, and it is broader, and it is higher, and it is deeper than he can ever imagine. But he sees something of it. And it is drawing his heart, because there is something there also for me. Is that then the assurance of faith? Do they receive the assurance of faith already then? Or what is called sometimes the assurance of grace and salvation? No. No. Yet there is something of this in it, a blessed confidence which we hope to see. But we have heard of Noah this morning. And Noah, he was brought in and through and above that wrath we have heard. And what was now after? Then the Lord came again, and he gave him what? That assurance that followed later, because then there was a promise and a setting of that bow in the cloud. Congregation, there is no more blessed thing in the whole world than the exercise of true saving faith. Do you believe that? Or if we are given to taste it for one moment, then we experience in that moment the vanity and the carnality, the poverty of all that this world can offer. Oh, it is sad. Then that church cannot boast of so many moments of that true saving faith, but they cannot forget when the Lord gave it, and they cannot forget the blessedness of it and their heart that is desiring to receive more of it. That is not only the church in our day. That was the church also in old time. Moses, he says, return, O Lord, how long? David says, I long, as in the days of old, thy power and glory to behold within thy holy place. Solomon says, my beloved, he is like a roe or a young hart. He standeth behind our wall. The disciples, they say, Lord, increase our faith. And you, what do you say? What does the Lord know you say? You have a secret chamber. You have one, two children. Young people, do you have a secret chamber? Or do you only pray when you are at the table? Does the Lord know the secret desires and the longings and the groanings of your heart? And what do you say? Do you say, I am evil, born in sin, Lord? Do you say, Lord, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Do you say, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so longs my soul, O God, for thee? Do you say, O Lord, I have no faith? I am on the outside of it. It is all vanity, it is all carnality. Do you say, remember me, O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and that I may see the good of thy chosen, and that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance? Oh, is that what you say? Is that what you say? What does the Lord then say? What does he say? May you believe it. Divine testimony. He says, come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you believe it? Oh, say, Lord, bring it in my heart. Bring it in my heart. And those that are barren, we heard it this morning, who cannot bring forth that fruit. But what does the Lord say now? He says, sing. Sing. Because more are the children of the desolate than of the married wife. And the Lord, he says, also we can read it in his word to the eunuchs. They were also fruitless, the eunuchs. And what did the Lord say to the eunuchs? The Lord, he says, thus saith the Lord, unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and that they desire the things that please me. He says, I will give them a place and a name within my walls and within my house that is better than of sons and of daughters. Yea, he says, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are so dependent upon that testimony of thy Spirit in our heart, and therefore we beseech it of thee before that we begin, and we beseech it of thee when we bring it to a close. O come, Lord, be thou the after speaker, because our hearts are full of unbelief, and we do not receive thy word, and then even when we are emptied of ourselves, then we cannot see that blessed and special object. Oh, it needs to be revealed unto us. Wilt thou look upon thy people, and wilt thou deliver them from all their fears and from all their sin, and cause each and every one of us to desire that blessedness which thou blessest thy church with. Bring us safely home. Help us in the week to come. Humble us under all thy great gifts. We acknowledge thee for thy help also in this hour. Once again, crown it with thy blessing. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 235. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord, my trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 235. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.